Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of Why Don't I Just Get Started? I am your host, Robert Farrell, and I'm very, very happy to be here tonight. It's been a while, but that's okay, because I'm here now. So if you were worried or sad or if you missed me or anything like that, now you can feel better because I'm back. And rather than go into any lengthy explanation of why I was away, I simply say I chose not to be here. I am marshaling a lot of my energy towards preparing for school. And even though school doesn't start until March, a little more than a month from now, there's still things I'm doing to prepare, and it's taking a lot of my time. And I have done this show at night, but I think what I need to do is schedule a different time so I can get this done, because I would like to do it. And what I want to do tonight is review this show, how I got started on it, and what its purpose is, and see if it's still valid and relevant today. So, here's what happened. On December 30th, 2012, I was sitting on the couch, and I was crying. I was very sad. Not just sad, but discouraged. I felt defeated, and I felt like nothing in my life had changed for about 5 years. And it wasn't that my life was totally horrible, but there were things that made me very, very unhappy, and I couldn't seem to extricate myself from those situations. And I sought advice, and I talked to so many people. What do I do? What do I do? But the problem wasn't with the advice or even with the situation, but the problem was that I wasn't able or willing to face my fears and do what I felt I needed to do. And I, as I said, was sitting on the couch, and I had my computer, so I fired it up, and I started my very first blog, and the very first sentence of my very first blog, it was, "Why don't I just get started?" I wrote for about half hour, maybe a little less, and then after finding a suitable website, I published my first blog. And even before I did the publishing of it, as I was writing, I could feel my pain and my sadness go away. So the next day, I wrote a second blog. And on the third day, I wrote a third blog. And I also started my first radio show called Why Don't I Just Get Started? Well, starting the blog was a very, very powerful experience for me. And it taught me that when you don't know what to do, do what you know to do. And that's an original quote by me. And I didn't know what to do, but I did know how to write. And so that's what I did. And it really brought some emotional relief for me. Well, as I said, a couple days later, I decided to start a radio show. And I called it the same thing, Why Don't I Just Get Started? Now, with the blogs, I've been more consistent. I've written over 800 blogs. Tonight I published, I think, number 806 of Why Don't I Just Get Started? I don't know how many radio shows I've done, but I'm going to say probably 300. I haven't really counted. And I have found them to be very powerful for me. And I hope for others. But I found them to be therapeutic. I have found them to be helpful as reminders with what I want to do with my life, with myself, with my goals. And I think other people, at least the people who have talked to me about the show, have said they found it very helpful and inspirational too. Now, at this point, I don't have a large audience, but I'm still pushing through. I'm still going forward. I'm not giving up. And I'm even hoping to keep doing this for as many years as it takes until I get to the goal that I would like for the radio show. And the goal is this, and it's a bit of a negative inspiration, but here it is anyway. There's somebody out there, probably more than one person, but there's at least one person out there who makes literally millions of dollars every year. And he makes this by being a radio commentator. And he's a political radio commentator. And his work, I find, is extremely negative and hateful and divisive. And yet he makes millions, tapping into people's anger and dissatisfaction with our government and with certain political party. And he makes millions every year. And again, while it's a bit of a negative inspiration, I feel, wouldn't it be great if I could make thousands? I don't even have to make millions. I'd love to make millions, of course. But wouldn't it be great if I could make a few hundred thousand every year, or even a couple of thousand a month extra, or a few thousand a month extra, not by spreading hate or negativity or divisiveness or anger, but by spreading hope and inspiration and maybe some practical ideas with regard to reaching goals. It seems to me that that would be a lot more helpful. With regard to politics, is there something wrong? Are there things wrong with our country? Yeah, of course. And it doesn't matter if we have a Democrat or a vice or a Republican in office. There are always problems with the country. And there always have been. And there always will be. But I don't want to focus on problems. I don't want to focus on negative things at all. I'll tell you, honestly, I struggle enough in my own life with negativity, with fear, with anger, with my own prejudices, my own problems. I struggle enough with that privately. I don't want to put it out there for the whole world to see, get all my anger and get other people all hot and bothered and angry and in a rage over the latest political stuff, much of which I'm not even sure how true it is. I just don't want to do that. There's just enough negativity, enough pain, enough hatred, enough divisiveness in this world. And I suppose, if I were of a mind to do so, I could create a radio show that was very divisive and very hate-filled and very angry. And I suppose I could do that, but I can't imagine what that would do to me as a person. Now, this person who has his radio show and who's making millions of dollars, maybe he's fine with it. Maybe it helps him in some way, or he thinks he's contributing to the world with his mission. I don't know. But it's not what I want to do. I don't want to be negative all the time. Now, it's not because I think, oh, life is great and perfect and wonderful and let's all just smile all the time and be happy. I recognize that life is difficult. But I also recognize that we don't have to give into the negativity. And as I said, I struggle with it myself a lot. Today, for example, this thought came into my head, and it kind of had a hold of me all day long. And it was a financial fear. And it had a hold of me pretty much all day long. And it made my day less pleasant. Now, it didn't overwhelm me, and I have been overwhelmed by negative thoughts, but this one didn't overwhelm me, but it was still not fun. So what I did tonight was I got home, and I did what's called the work. And I've talked about this, many times. And what the work is from Byron Katie, Loving What Is. And the idea is to ask these four questions and then do what's called the turnaround. So let's say, for example, I have a fear. And let's say the fear is I'm going to lose my job. Okay? So there's four questions. Is it true? Do you know for sure that it's true? How does that thought make you feel? And who would you be without that thought? And then you do, as I said, what's called the turnaround. You turn around that thought to an opposite idea of the thought that was causing stress or tension. So I'm not worried about losing my job. It's not my fear. But let's just say that it was. Okay, what I do is I write this down. And this is all done in writing, by the way. That is somehow the way it works best. So I would write on a piece of paper, I'm going to lose my job. And then I would write, is it true? And my answer would be, I don't know. Unless I know for sure, I would write, I don't know. So I can skip the second question, which is, do I know for sure that it's true? Now, if I said yes to the first question, I'm going to lose my job. The second question would be, do I know for sure that it's true? And then I could either write yes or no, I'm not 100% sure. I'm maybe 90% sure. The third question is, how does that make you feel, that thought? And I might write, I'm scared, I'm terrified, I'm angry, I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills, I'm confused, whatever you're feeling about. You just write them down. And there are no wrong feelings, by the way. And I want to maybe talk about that in a minute, that there are no wrong feelings. And then the fourth question is, who would I be without that thought? And if I just even have the thought, I'm going to lose my job. If it never occurred to me, well, I'd be happy, I'd be calm, I'd be peaceful, I'd focus on other things, whatever the answer is. And then I do the turnaround. Now, the turnaround can be done in a lot of different ways, or at least a few different ways. It can be the exact opposite, such as, I'm not going to lose my job. Or it can be something more, proactive. Such as, I'm not going to lose my job because I'm quitting my job, because I don't like it anymore. Or I could write, I'm going to get a promotion, not be fired. Or I'm going to get a demotion, but I'm still going to have my job. So there are a lot of possibilities that are all turnarounds. And I like to write as many as I can think of. And as I said, I did this, the work, today, over the thing that was worrying me. And it really helped. It calmed me down. So I recommend that. again, going back to the original point I was making, I don't want to be thinking negative things all the time. I struggle with negativity enough. I struggle with fear more than I'd like to admit. I struggle with anger. I struggle with all kinds of stuff that makes me enjoy my life less. So I don't want to do a radio show that's negative. I want to do one that's positive. Now, with regard to feelings, and this might be a bit of a sidetrack, but I think it's worth saying, no feelings are wrong. It's not wrong to feel angry. It's not wrong to be sad. It's not wrong to be happy or be confused or be scared. None of those things are wrong. However, I'd rather not have them. Now, sometimes, and this goes back to the work, we have these more negative feelings, fear, anger, sadness, because we believe certain things. We believe certain things are going to occur, and it makes us feel bad in some way. And this is why the work by Byron Katie can be so powerful, because it helps us to see, well, maybe that thing you're thinking isn't even true. Byron Katie says, it's like walking along. You're walking somewhere, you're hiking, and you see a snake, and you panic, and you get all afraid, and then you take another look, and you realize it's not a snake, it's a rope. And Byron Katie says, all problems are ropes. Now, my goal, one of my goals in life, is to be peaceful all the time, to not let anything shake me, upset me, anger me, make me afraid, at least not in a way that's not healthy. It's okay to have those feelings, but again, I want to have those feelings, not let them have me. And I honestly don't want to have fear at all. And if I have anger, I want it to be righteous anger. And if I have sadness, I want it to be for something that's really sad, not because I'm imagining something that's not even happening. So I just don't want to have things like that floating around in my head all the time. So one of the reasons I did this radio show is because it reminds me of who I want to be. And this goes back to my original story. When I first wrote that blog, that very first blog, I was suddenly who I really am. I was, for a while at least, the man I'm supposed to be. Now I find that that is a process. We are all our lives inundated with negativity of all kinds and fear of all kinds and anger of all kinds. And all of these feelings get in the way of purpose and of being our true selves. So I like to remind myself through my blogs, through my radio shows, who I am and who I'm supposed to be and what I'm supposed to be doing in this world, about my purpose. And what I'm recommending for you is that you find your purpose. You find the things that you love to do, the things that make you feel good about yourself, and you do them a little bit every day. Maybe more than a little bit every day. Maybe an hour a day. Maybe you make it your new job. I don't know. For everyone, it's a little different. when I first started writing blogs, December 30th, 2012, I had no idea I would one day write over 800. It's funny, because when I wrote that blog, it wasn't as if I had this goal to reach a certain number. I was just trying to alleviate my pain, and I found a way to do it, and I stuck with it. Doing the radio shows is also another way to alleviate pain, but it has to go beyond that eventually, and it has to go beyond me and be something that blesses other people, whether or not they see it or whether or not they know it's you. But it has to be something, I believe, purpose has to be outer directed. It comes from within, and it comes from God, goes out. And so that's why I do the radio shows. That's why I write. And I recommend, again, that if you're listening to this, that you find the thing that you love to do, the thing that makes you rise above all the details of your life, all the negativity of your life. Just rise above it and do the thing you're supposed to do. And I tell you, this world wants to keep us down. And it's within our power to rise above it by doing our work, whatever your work is, whatever my work is. Now, I don't recommend that everybody gets out of the computer and starts writing blogs, but if that's something that sounds really exciting to you, then I do recommend it. I don't recommend that everybody starts a radio show unless that sounds really exciting to you. But if you find something and it really strikes a chord in your heart, almost unbidden, almost as a surprise, then that may be the thing you're supposed to do. This morning, I went to church. And it's a church I've not been to before. Well, I went last week, but for me, it's a new church. And somebody was doing an announcement, and she was talking about shut-ins. And she mentioned different ways that people could help shut-ins feel better about their lives. And she talked about visiting them and sending them letters or phone calls or text messages. And then she said something that I thought was really cool that I could do. She said, if you have space in your freezer, you could take some of the food that we make for shut-ins and put it in your freezer. And then when the time comes, take it out of your freezer and deliver it to the shut-ins or deliver it to someone who will deliver it to the shut-ins. And I thought, wow, I could do that. How hard is that? I've got room in my freezer. And it just struck a chord within me, and it came as a surprise. And it's interesting because many, many years ago, gosh, 30 years ago or more, I used to visit a shut-in. I remember her name, Josephine. And she was this elderly lady who lived in a trailer park, and she had shingles, and she was completely alone. And I'd visit her. I'd visit her maybe once a week or once in a while. And then for different reasons, I stopped, partly because I moved and et cetera. But it was, I didn't think about it as far as, well, I'm doing this. I was just doing it because it just, I felt bad that this poor little old lady was stuck in her house all by herself and had no one to talk to. And it just made me sad. So I went and visited her. And I haven't done anything like that in a long, long time. I've done other things that I'm proud of, but I haven't done anything like that in a long time. And when this person at church was announcing a ministry for shut-ins, I thought of Josephine, and something struck in my heart. And I thought, wow, I don't know how I can do that given my schedule and everything else, but I could certainly take food and put it in my freezer and take it out. I don't think that requires a whole lot of energy or time. So the point of that whole story is this. There's something you can do, and it'll make you feel good. And you should do it as much as possible. You should do it every day. You should do it and see where it takes you. As I said, when I wrote my blog, my first blog, and when I started my first radio show, I had no idea where it would take me. But they became vehicles of life changes for me. I finally, after a long, long time, started taking action on things that I should have taken action on a long time ago. Now, I'm not saying any of that with regret or anger or anything else. What I am saying is this. We all have a purpose. We all have a reason we're here. Maybe we have a few reasons we're here. Find it. Find your reason. It's not a big, doesn't have to be a big search necessarily. But find the things that you love to do. And here's what I'm going to say to my 20-year-old self. Because when I was 19 and 20, I was very much on a quest for my life's purpose. And I remember my 20th birthday feeling very old because I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. And if I could go back and mentor the younger me, I'd say, Robert, just find something you like to do. You like to write. Just start writing. And just do it every single day until something happens. And do it on a schedule. And don't deviate too much from it. And see what happens. See where your life opens. Now, it's interesting because the answer to what I was supposed to do with my life came very unexpectedly. And the answer was to work with kids. And I did. And I worked with kids for a long time. I even became a teacher. And while that wasn't my best choice, did lead to other options for me. But my point is, just find something. Even if you're 18, 19, 20 years old, and don't think about it in terms of what do I want to do with my whole life. Forget that. That's too huge of a question. And there's no answer for it for anybody because our life comes in stages and phases and the answer will be different. Instead, ask, what do I want to do now with this phase of my life? What do I like? What do I enjoy? What do I feel called to do? What do I want to do with this phase of my life, this stage? See if that feels better. Okay, my time's up. If you need a coach, a mentor, a speaker, a writer, an editor, or anything else I can do, give me a call at 619-672-0378. Give me a call. I look forward to it.